Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Bible Memory Man and Professor Tom Meyer on how he was able to memorize 20 complete books of the Bible and why he's out encouraging others to memorize God's Word.
The benefits, the dividends that come from memorizing are it puts the mind of the living God within reach. No matter where you are and no matter what you're doing, you can dwell upon, you can set your affection, your mind, your heart on things above and not on things of the earth. And memorization also provides you or others true words of comfort in the time of need when you don't have access to a Bible.
Our own Patrick Herman sits down with Professor Tom Meyer next.
As prominent Christian leaders and ministers declare 2020 to be the year of the Bible, more people are looking to God's Word and memorizing Scripture as a New Year's resolution or just because they're motivated to do so. I'm joined today on His People with Tom Meyer, who has memorized 20 books of the Bible, earning him the nickname the Bible Memory Man from Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, where he's been a guest speaker. And Tom has three tips to help anyone with possibly a New Year's resolution to commit more scripture to memory. Now, Tom, you're a professor at Shasta Bible College teaching a class called Walking, Talking Bibles in Redding, California. Is that right?
Well, the class is a class on Bible memorization, and we produce Walking, Talking Bibles. That's correct.
I see. Those are the people. That's the kids. They are the Walking, Talking Bibles.
Exactly. So, you know, through a semester course, the goal is to have the student memorize a short book of the Word of God.
Now, how long have you been with Shasta Bible College in Redding?
Well, I did my undergraduate work here from 2003 to 2006, and then I went overseas and earned two master's degrees in Jerusalem. That's where I really learned to memorize. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to the States in 2010, I've been teaching here ever since, so about almost a decade.
Now, here's the fun part. We're going to get to your advice, your three tips, but let's start with God's Word, if you don't mind.
That'd be great.
All right. So I know there's several passages, but Psalm 119 tells us to hide God's Word in our hearts, which really translates to memorizing Scripture. So, and it gives us some reasons why right there in Psalm 119. But I want to hear from you. What is your motivation and what do you tell other people to be motivated to learn Scripture? What would you say?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we have four or five or whatever printed copies at home. We have the apps on our phone, and we're just so blessed to have so many copies of the Word of God. Why should I spend the time and the energy and the effort to memorize it? Because, you know, memorization is hard. It really is, especially in this kind of copy-paste Facebook tweet world that we live in the West. And to make a long story short, the benefits, the dividends that come from memorizing are it puts the mind of the living God within reach. No matter where you are and no matter what you're doing, you can dwell upon, you can set your affection, your mind, your heart on things above and not on things of the earth. And memorization also provides you or others true words of comfort in the time of need when you don't have access to a Bible and you really need to hear from the Lord. You can just go to that memorized verse, and there's more, but finally, memorization provides us with our weapon, our only quote unquote weapon. And we base that off of like Ephesians 6 with the soldier of God, and everything we're wearing, spiritually speaking, is defensive, isn't it? The breastplate, the helmet, the shield, etc. And our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
And I think it's funny that people, we know, we see it all the time. It's considered the Bible is the sword, but we don't see the word right there in the word sword. It is the Word of God that's coming through, and that is the weapon that we are asked to use.
Absolutely. And I think of the Lord Jesus when he was in the wilderness and tempted by the devil. I mean, what was his response when he was in distress? He didn't run to a synagogue and find a scroll, and you know, he didn't fumble around and search and, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, he just opened his mouth and he calmly recited from memory what the Word of God that he treasured and stored in his heart, and that was his weapon against the devil.
Now, you've memorized, this is amazing, 20 books of the Bible. That's an incredible feat. But if I gave you a biblical address and said, like, Revelation 13:1, could you recite from there on?
And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blaspheme.
All right. And so if our listeners are wondering, well, is that the right place? Yep, that's correct. And you've got my attention. Good job.
But I would like to say, though, I got lucky there because I appreciate the chapter and the verse divisions. You know, chapter divisions came into the Bible approximately in the 12th century AD, and verse divisions came into the 15th or 16th century AD. And so they're very important to help us navigate, as you know, and our listeners know. But when I memorize, I'm kind of going for the whole passage or the whole chapter or the whole book. And I only have so much storage or, you know, RAM or memory in my mind. And so I really don't get too concerned about the references.
I understand. What version did you just recite?
That was King James, and we usually recite either King James or New King James, usually one of the two.
Do you do like one book of the Bible in both, or do you just memorize in just one or the other?
We know how it is when you're in church and you memorize something back in the day, you know, and someone uses a new translation, it gets us all mixed up, you know? So I just try and keep it, you know, keep it simple. Just keep each book one of those two translations.
Let's talk about how it works. And you have three tips. Let's just get them out on the table for everyone. What are the three tips?
The three tips, or I like to call them the three pillars that kind of hold up this building of memorization, are number one is reading, number two is hearing, and then number three is writing.
You make it sound so simple. So you've actually written a book, right? It's called The Memorization Study Bible. It came out in 2018.
Yeah, and what that does is it basically takes everything I ever learned about memorization when I lived in Jerusalem. I would pick the brains of the rabbis and pick the brains of the Christians there. And, you know, how do you guys do it? And how did they memorize in antiquity? You know, because Josephus and others and Eusebius and stuff, they just say all of these amazing things about how people memorized back then. And so I took everything that I learned from them and kind of packaged it and balled it up in what's called the Memorization Study Bible.
Since there's a book out there, I mean, this is kind of a little bit ridiculous to think we can cover all of it in 30 minutes, but we're going to get some of the insights and just talk about those different things and where it all came from. So we're going to talk about each of those tips that you have in just a moment, but I would like to know what you would say to inspire, because it takes motivation, doesn't it, to learn these things. How do you inspire your students, your college students, and what would you do to say to inspire me and the listening audience today of why to memorize scripture and how to do it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Mm. Why should I do it, you know? And first of all, I would like to say memorization is very difficult for me. It, you know, people think, oh, well, he's whatever, he's a cyborg or he's part robot or something, and he can just, you know, or he has a photographic memory. No, I don't. You know, it's hard. It takes me on average, and I know most people can't do it, but an hour a day, every day for a month, maybe to memorize just one chapter, you know? And so I encourage people that, number one, keeping aside the fact that the Word of God tells us to do it, you know, which should be in and of itself sufficient, is just that once you start it, and it's hard at first, it's like working out, you know, when you first work out, you don't want to do it, but it hurts, you're sore and all those kind of things. But the more you do it, the stronger you get and the quote unquote easier it gets. It's the same thing with your memory. And so you will soon see all of the benefits and the dividends that come from treasuring God's Word in your heart. Charles Spurgeon once said, the Bible in the memory is better than the Bible in the bookcase.
Love it.
And that is true.
Now, you have, how many students do you have any given semester?
Well, on average, I'd say under 25. And I'm thankful for those. It's an elective class. So, you know, you don't have to take it because, you know, because of the world we live in, and, you know, pastors who are great and parents who are great, they really don't memorize like they did back in the day, you mm-hmm. know? And so since they don't memorize, then the congregation isn't going to necessarily be inspired to memorize, and with the parents and the children. So we have this cycle going on that is being broken, thankfully. We're kind of out in front, the tip of the spear, and inspiring and encouraging. There really is a revival though going on in regards to Bible memorization.
Well, so you said you do not have a photographic memory. Is it take a certain kind of personality or gifting to do this?
I think it's both. I think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I think it really is to be able, I mean, I just quoted the entire book of Revelation from memory. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how do you do that unless God's with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of gift. But on the other hand, it's labor. It really is. Like, when I was younger, I lived outside of Chicago, and I would go to the Chicago Bulls practice, like, every day. and just hang out with the players and see them walk in. And every day, the greatest player ever, Michael Jordan, would get there at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, first thing. And, you know, he's there practicing with everybody else, doing the laps, doing the layups, doing the exercises. And so, you know, it's just like, it does take diligence. So I think it's both. I think it's a gifting of God, and also it's hard work.
All right. So first and foremost, to study something that interests you is what you say, right? Something of the Bible or something that's you're dealing with in your life. You should go to that portion of scripture first and then and try to memorize that portion of scripture. Is that part of the first tip that you have for us?
That's it. You hit it right in the head. You know, as everybody knows, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God, but you're probably not going to start out memorizing, you know, the Levitical laws in chapter 11 and, you know, what you can and can't eat, right? As a Gentile in the 21st century, you're probably going to go more towards, you know, the Psalms or Genesis 1 to 11 or a portion from the Gospels or the Epistles, something that, you know, kind of just rings true to your spirit, something you really need. And if you're interested in it, you're obviously going to be more eager to accomplish your goal. For sure.
So the first tip is to read the verse, and you said in the same Bible over and over again aloud. Is that right?
Yeah. So that would be the first tip or the first pillar is the reading. And the key, though, is to read it, because you said it does sound so simple, and it is, but it isn't. But, you know, what I learned in the world of the Bible in Jerusalem is just the tremendous importance that reading aloud does. And in the West, we really don't read aloud, you know, like in the library, we tell people to shush. If you're on the airplane and someone's reading something aloud, you know, you look at them like they're crazy or something like that. You know, that's how it is in the West. But over there, it's, I mean, you walk past any Jewish school or little, you know, Christian school and whatever, and they're just reading aloud. So that's the key, to have the text open. So the power of format impresses upon your mind. You know where the verse is, right? And you look at it, and we're not talking about replacing your devotions or anything like that, just adding on a couple of minutes every day.
Now, you were saying that to read it out loud, but just a certain portion of the Bible over and over, is that right?
Right. So Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, it's a huge process. And just take one verse at a time. I suggest for beginners, just one verse a week. Okay, you could memorize one verse a week if you want to. Think of all the time we spend watching whatever, you know. And so just zero in on that one verse and read it aloud over and over and over every single day. And it's going to take some work, but it will get there. It will be in you will own it. If it's in your hand, you could lose it. If it's in your heart, you can forget it, you know, but it'll get deep down in your heart and you're going to own that verse.
All right, so I think you broke it down into 5 to 8 words each sentence or thereabouts, correct? And so if you're going to memorize, let's say, James chapter 1, would you learn the first 8 verses and then the next 8? Or do you say those 8 verses along with the next 8 going to 16 and then the next going to 24? Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. So what you want to do is you want to take a portion of that. You don't want to eat the whole steak at once, right? You want to cut it up into little pieces. And you want to take somewhere around there, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses at a time, take a block and just zero in on that and memorize that. When that's done, you go to it's just like Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's just step by, it's just baby step.
Very cool. And you said something about reading it dramatically. When you read and you go to churches, you read it dramatically. Would you also encourage people to speak out loud the Bible dramatically, even in their own living room?
Absolutely. You know, I think that in many regards, that the Bible is originally, in many ways, meant more for the ears than the eyes. And we have numerous verses that have things like, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Or faith comes by hearing. Or be doers of the word, not hearers only, and go on and on, you know? Right. So there is this real, you know, it's kind of like reading Mozart versus hearing Mozart. Like, you could read Mozart, I can't, but maybe you can, you know? You could read Mozart on the page all the day long, and you could say to yourself, I bet you that sounds fantastic, you know? But then to hear someone who actually knows what they're doing play it, it takes on like almost like a different life, doesn't it? It's the same thing, but it's not. And it's similar to God's word. You know, it's meant to be spoken. There's drama. There's energy. Is he angry? Is he happy? Is he sad? You know what I mean? And by speaking that out loud with the emotion behind it, it really does help, get it deeper down into your heart.
That's a great analogy. Well, all right. So second, that was the first tip. Read it over and over. It's just rote memorization. And rote is just simply that. I say it, you say it. It's just back and forth over and over again. Second is you said using a CD or some kind of an app to or maybe even record your own voice and then listen to the verse over and over again, right?
Absolutely. And that kind of ties in a little bit with the first step, a little bit of a layover there. But getting back to that idea of the orality of scripture, and in the most literal sense, like we really don't hear the voice. We don't hear the voice of God throughout the week, you know, like we listen to great programming. And when we go to church, it's mostly, which is fine, but it's mostly like, you know, exegesis and commentary on that particular passage. You don't hear, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." You know, we don't hear that a lot. But to be able to hear that, and that's the best way for children to memorize as well. If you have kids or the people listening have grandkids, that's it, man. If you can put on, like you said, a CD or app or something, especially when it's bedtime, you want them to go to sleep fast, just put on First Chronicles, right? No, I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, it's and I do that every night with my kids. I recite to them something that they want to hear. You know, they pick it. And you know how they're sponges. They know everything. Already, the little ones, they can just fill in the words just by hearing it over and over again.
Okay, and I think there's a couple of apps. I looked online, just the NIV and the New King James Version. They both have the dramatized version. That's what you're saying is the best. Make sure it's dramatized.
If you can, yeah. I mean, I love Alexander Scorby. He's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But to be able to incorporate, you know, when I mean, you're not adding to it. Don't take it the wrong way. But if it's talking about thundering and lightning, it'd be kind of cool to hear it.
Sure.
You know, it kind of it adds to the drama of what you're hearing.
Well, that's awesome. And number three, we're at the third already, but write it out. That's your main thing. Divide it out into no more than 8 words in a line. Just write it out. And how many times would you suggest people write what they're trying to memorize?
Well, this is the way that happens to work best for me. And this technique's helped me memorize about 20 complete books. And our Bibles, every Bible in the world except, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn in any way, okay? But every Bible except the Memorization Study Bible is printed in such a way where it's not easy on the eye. It's not conducive. It's not helpful to memorize. It doesn't have a poetical shape to it or a stanza shape to it. And if you can write it out and, you know, leave the ands and the buts and the ifs all underneath each other, the conjunctions, and give it some kind of shape and write it out. And what the ancients would say is always they said 8 words or less on each line. It's called an eye's glance. And so if you can write it and say it when you write it, then your eye and your hand and your mind and your mouth and your ear are all working together in unison.
Love that. Yeah, it's just divide and conquer.
Exactly.
Well, I'm talking with Tom Meyer today on His People. Tom has been called the Bible Memory Man by Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis, and for good reasons. You've memorized 20 entire books of the Bible, and you actually, I would say, perform these to people across the country at different speaking engagements. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, instead of the typical sermon, which is great, you know, instead of that, it's something different. It's kind of like, you know, you could experience the most famous, beloved book. I mean, it's not a book, but, you know, the word of God in a whole new way. And so the guest speaker, when I come, the guest speaker is John. And I'm not adding or taking away to Revelation. I just get up there and I speak that whole book in 58 minutes. Just, I hope, like the original audience would have experienced it.
That is fun. Now, what do the people in the audience do when you're reading through the book of John or Revelation?
Some of them follow along, which, you know, good for them for being a Berean, but look, I got it. Okay. I would appreciate it. If you want to follow along, you can, but you're missing out when you're not watching,
right?
You know, cause he's making hand gestures and he's moving and expressions on his face. But more often than not, I get one word. It's over and over again. And that's the word inspired. And that's what we're going for, is to inspire people to memorize the word of God.
All right. So what if you mess up? Have you messed up?
Well, a couple of times. I mean, one time I did the book of Jonah in front of one of my friends and heroes, Jimmy DeYoung. And when the king of Nineveh rose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Well, when I sat, my pants split. So that was kind of embarrassing. But, you know, it's like I only mess up in front of people I admire. And then the other time was like with Dr. Randall Price, who's the guy who's looking for the Dead Sea Scrolls, like 2.0. And that happens. You just draw a blank. But you know what? It's kind of like, you know, in Peanuts with Linus has his blanket. Mm-hmm. Like whenever you go up there and speak, you always bring the Bible up there with you because you're a human. And if you do draw a blank, you just look down and get back on track. It's very rarely happens, but it's no big deal. People get it. Let me see you do it. Right.
Right. Now I hear you said you had four kids and I heard one of them in the background just a little bit ago, but do you actually practice this with your kids as they used to in the old days from father to son on down through the generations?
Yeah. You know, on the one hand, it's like in Deuteronomy 6, we're supposed to teach or recite these words to our children. Mm. When we're sitting at the table and when we're walking by the way, you know, that passage. So I kind of just throughout the day, just try and incorporate scripture into our daily life. Like I won't tell them, you know, Proverbs, whatever says this, which is fine. You know, but I'll just say like, you know, do not say I will do unto her as she has done unto me. You know, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff when you got to play the referee or something. But, you know, and then, you know, I'm not at home. I'm not an ogre, like beating them over the head, like with the Bible, like you must memorize, you know, I'm not like that at all. It's just, they go to kids clubs at church and they memorize verses and, you know, we want to get it in them. It's a saying in Israel, get them in them when they're little lambs. And then when they're strong rams, then you can start to unpack the deeper meaning of things.
Now you lived in Israel for 1,000 days. I think you said.
I did. It was everything I imagined, but nothing I expected.
Now, you sort of just learned at the feet of Rabbi and, like you said, other Christians that are there. Tell us about your experience.
Well, you know, it was an eye-opener because, you know, I'm living on the other side of the world, 2,000-plus years from Pentecost, 3,500 years from the giving of the law, in a different culture, in a different society. And you can just kind of – it's hard to understand things sometimes. Not always, but sometimes in the text. You know, because you're not there. You're living so far apart from them. But to be able to go there and to get into the sandals, as it were, to get windows into the past there, to get off the beaten track and, you know, go in the desert and live with the Bedouins in the tents and, you know, to learn from rabbis and Christians and all these kind of things, you know, get these really cool insights that you just can't get in America.
That is awesome. So you've also been endorsed by some big names like Ken Ham, Josh McDowell, Chuck Norris, and the president of Israel. You better explain Chuck Norris to us. Why is he on that list?
Oh, he's amazing. He's the best. So to make a long story short, how that happened is I, in God's providence, so we live in Redding, California, and every weekend we speak at a different church, you know, like we said. And so I was reading his book, his testimony and how he came to faith. Well, it just so happened that weekend, we were in the next town over from where he lived. And it was a small little church, but I don't care if it's 100 people or 5 people or 1,000. I do it all the same. Same effort, energy, everything. So we finished church. We're driving home in like, you know, a 1996 Dodge Ram, you know, loud diesel truck. Pull into town. Find the first place I see, the Happy Garden Chinese restaurant. I walk in. I say, hey, does anybody know where Chuck Norris lives? And someone's like, yeah. And they gave me his exact address. Well, his wife was not really pleased about that later on. But so we pull up to his house, put the big diesel truck in park, walk up to the door with our one kid at that time. My wife's pregnant. She did have shoes on though, you know, and we walk up to the front door and knock, knock, knock. His wife opens and she's like, who in the world are you? You know, and I knew I had like 1 second before Chuck Norris came out and did something amazing or whatever, you know. But thankfully, we were in the newspaper in the next town over, so it kind of backed up our story. We're missionaries. This is what we do. We speak the word of God. We know you love Jesus. You love the Lord. We just want to say hi. We think you guys are great. And so she said, Chuck, get out here. And so there he came in all his glory. And we had a great time, and we've stayed in touch since. And we just got a Christmas card from him, and they're fantastic.
Now, there's another man I left off this list, but we need to talk about him in our last remaining minutes. His name is Jason Nightingale. Tell me about him and in your relationship with him and how this all got started.
Yeah, Jason went to be with the Lord about, I don't know, maybe like 2 years ago or so. And he, I mean, looking back on things, he was one of the at least in modern times, one of the first who kind of began this revival of the orality of Scripture and the proclamation of the very pure Word of God. And so I was an undergrad student at Shasta Bible, where I'm now teaching, and I got hooked up with him here. He was just passing through as a guest speaker, and I already had a couple small books memorized at that time. And so I joined his ministry, and I was with them for 13 years. And since he's gone to be with the Lord, he's, you know, it's all about leaving a legacy, right? And making the greatest mark we can in the world for God's glory, whoever we are and whatever we're doing. And he certainly did that.
Well, before we go, let me just give a couple of bits of information. So there's still so much more we could talk about, but your website is called thescripturecannotbebroken.com.
Yeah, and it has a bunch of goodies on it and videos on it and just things and, you know, to help resources to help people memorize Scripture.
All right. And then your book is The Memorization Study Bible. So those are the two ways to find you and to find out more information if they have that resolution in 2020 to memorize huge chunks of the Bible or just small portions of the Bible.
Exactly. And you know what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, even memorize Scripture.
Well said. Thanks, Tom. And that website again is thescripturecannotbebroken.com. And you've been listening to His People here on Pilgrim Radio. My name is Patrick Herman. A special thanks to our guest, Tom Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man and also a professor at Shasta Bible College in Redding, California.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Dave Harvey with encouragement to help marriages grow closer and stronger.
And that's why when the kids leave becomes this defining moment, because it exposes what you've really built with your marriage, or just in a very redemptive way, it exposes what isn't there. God doesn't do that to condemn us. He does that because He's rescuing the marriage, and He wants us to see that there's something that's missing that's absolutely vital to the future.
That's tomorrow at the same time on His People. Thanks for listening.